Directions Magazine. This is Directions on the News for Tuesday, September 25th, 2012. This weekly podcast brings you the latest information on geospatial technology and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Manteloking, New Jersey.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Apple and the iOS 6 maps. Need we say more? We will, but first a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Esri. Make ArcGIS Online the mapping platform for your organization. Sign up for a free 30-day trial today at esri.com/agoleval.
Adina, when a story about mapping technology makes the front page of the Wall Street Journal like it did last Friday, it means either of two things. Either the publisher goofed, or something went seriously wrong with Apple's launch of the iOS 6 operating system that included its new mapping application. It obviously turned out to be the latter, and of course, and the results for Apple are that its new mapping application has turned into a running joke. Criticism seems to have poured in from a number of mapping and technology cognoscenti. And while there's been praise for some elements of the maps, vector-based maps were one of the things people pointed to, the really important features that people use all the time, like points of interest, have been criticized for being inaccurate or poorly delineated and short of turned the launch into a marketing debacle. Even a new blog started up called The Amazing iOS 6 Maps, and it's noted some of the worst cases of imprecise and defectively rendered maps. Walt Mossberg of the Wall Street Journal, and to me one of the most noted technology authorities, really had very muted criticism, I thought, of the maps, while others are criticizing the maps for lack of detail, absence of transit routing, and the lack of a substitute for Google's Street View. Mark Priolo, formerly of Decarta, had, in my opinion, one of the more succinct criticisms, and I quote, "Obviously, Apple wants to replace Google as the iOS map supplier. Is that all? Do they want to create something that is good enough, or do they see location and mapping as a key strategic leg of their mobile strategy? Google does. Nokia does. Apple does not typically shoot for good enough. We all expect them to be wanting to change the way we think of maps, to do something big and new and different. But if that's what they want to do, they need to staff the effort at least at the level of their competitors, Google and Nokia. They haven't, and the results show it," unquote. Adina, you know, when the first iPhone came out, I mean, I criticized Apple for not including a GPS chip, and I took some heat for that. To me, it was just an indication that they believed location services and technology were not that important to their overall strategy. And I think Priolo, in his commentary that I just read, suggested exactly that. It doesn't seem to be strategic, but it's obviously more than that. They didn't take how to cartographically render maps more seriously, or the effort that it would take to do that. It's also not even a case of not sniffing the wind. It's really a complete ignorance of what's required to be good map makers, even in the digital world. So I'm going to leave it right there. And what say you? Where did Apple really screw up here, in your opinion?
Well, I guess I want to start by saying that the other voice that listeners should read is Mike Dobson from Telemapics, who went into some detail of what went wrong and what Apple has to do to fix it, and it echoes what Mark says in that it just didn't have the right people doing the right things, and he sort of blames it all on the failure of Map Fusion, bringing all these data sets together and not doing that correctly. Now, having said that, I want to put Apple between a rock and a hard place. Apple wanted to get rid of Google, not news. Apple wanted to make maps. Apple couldn't do what maybe Google did starting 8-10 years ago, which was start from not much and slowly, with some bumps along the way, build that up to a pretty darn good online mapping solution with its corresponding apps for the different platforms. And through that, remember, Google started out licensing all its data. Then it slowly started changing over until such point as it pretty much, at least in the United States, got rid of its map data suppliers and started building its own data sets. And when that happened, at the outset, there was a lot of outcry in the tech press saying, oh my goodness, this is never going to work, it's horrible. And I remember being very nervous, and I would check every time I used Google Maps against another map provider. I'd go to MapQuest, I'd go to OpenStreetMap, make sure that Google wasn't going to goof me up. Guess what? No one does that anymore.
Yeah.
Right? Let's think about Apple starting this process a couple of years back when they started acquiring these mapping companies. They pretty much had to go from zero to full world coverage with perfect navigation, with perfect POI, with street view, with satellite imagery, with 3D rendering and everything else. And that's what they tried to bite off. Guess what? That's really, really huge.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, and I'm not as schooled as you are in terms of the business side of this, they couldn't say, well, our initial offering for iOS 6, we're going to offer just the United States, and all it can do is geocode, route, and show you satellite images. And that's it. Because there would have been a riot.
Right.
Guess what? There was anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So I think that's what Apple tried to do, and it was too big a leap.
Yeah, yeah. It's without a doubt an incredible leap, but the bar had been set so high, as you just said, by Google, that it was a near impossibility to ramp up that quickly and get something that was not just equivalent, but the expectation was that it would be better. And
It didn't make equivalent, right?
It didn't even make
way
equivalent,
below
equivalent, right. And as Mike Dobson pointed out, Google has such a large lead now, both in technology and in staff, that one of the suggestions was that that Apple would now have to go and essentially rob Google of some of their key technology developers in order to even come close.
And word on the street is that they're already contacting folks who have already contracted with Google to try to come to Apple and bring that expertise.
So let me go back to a point about the business side of things that where Apple, I think, kind of completely missed the mark here. It wasn't just about getting back to something equivalent to what Google had. It was about, I thought, the fact that they just even weren't even sniffing the wind. They weren't even recognizing the fact that there are so many applications now in the App Store that depended on location services. There are so many things now being talked about refining the process for location-based advertising, that they didn't seem to recognize the real importance that location was playing in the overall business strategy. And again, that was one of the things that Priyalo pointed out, was that both Nokia and Google already recognized the value and the importance of location services. For Apple not to have put something out there that was even modestly competitive to what Google could offer. I mean, as you said, put them between a rock and a hard place, and they just have fallen on their face. I mean, this isn't just a minor twitch in the strategy. This is a major goof up by Apple in not taking it more seriously and launching a product that would be competitive and allow their app developers to be confident in the applications and the technology that they had behind the whole application.
I think you've got that exactly right. And I think it's worth noting that in the past, I can't even say how many years, 6-7 years, the built-in applications that come with your operating system on your phone seem to be as important as that operating system itself.
Yeah, yeah.
And to think that when you get right down to it, we are arguing about a free app that comes with the operating system on your phone. And it isn't like there aren't, as you point out, a whole flock of other apps that you could run. I don't know if they run on the new iOS 6 yet. But also, you can always go back to good old maps.google.com and run that in your browser.
Right.
So it isn't, in that sense, it's not the end of the world, and yet the press, at least, would have us believe that it is.
TechCrunch noted, make no mistake about it, there will be a native Google Maps app for iOS 6, but it won't be made available until it's ready to blow Apple out of the water, as this is Google's only chance to give people a true Coke versus Pepsi test for what they want to use to navigate the globe. And they ended by saying, it's kind of a big deal. And I thought that was really just a poke at Apple to saying, look, guys, this is really important. You kind of missed the boat here. And now Google is going to take every opportunity to sit back, launch something that will truly make Apple look silly at this point.
They don't even have to work that hard.
Yeah,
just right. Port the existing app and be done with it. The other sort of amusing thing that I saw was from on Twitter from somebody called Sarcastic Rover. He said, I guess Apple wasn't counting on every single iPhone user having a master's degree in cartography and whining with a hashtag Mac apocalypse.
Yeah, that's truly funny.
And it does raise the question that the press is going crazy on this, and frankly, it's giving me a headache. But it's really not clear if the public is as bent out of shape as the press is, because as we know, things are selling out. People seem to be happy with the phone itself, even though it's sort of a minor step up from everything I can gather. So we have to sort of balance this. Is the press just enjoying being able to jump on Apple and those high expectations, or is this really making people crazy?
I would say it's probably a little bit of both, but you're right. It's not hurting sales. The bean counters at Apple aren't running out with their resumes over to Google. I think that what we're seeing is it is a lot of let's jump on Apple for a mistake, and but it's not cutting down on the lines at Apple stores for people running to get the iPhone.
Because I will suggest, because the iPhone is more than just a thing you do maps on.
Well, sure. At the bottom line, it is also a phone, but I also think that it's going to hurt eventually that people won't be able to download an app and feel confident that they're getting a very good location service.
I guess I can't get all that bent out of shape that the one from Apple happens to not be so good.
Right. Yeah.
Because as much as we like to think that we live in these little boxes that say Android and Apple and Microsoft, and one of the reasons I can't get too excited about this is I am just not one of those app-crazed people. I have an Android phone. It has a handful of apps on it. But if one of them disappeared tomorrow, my life would not end. Mm-hmm. Or even, I almost wouldn't even notice. But I have to believe there are people way on the other side of that line, and this is a huge deal.
Yeah.
The last point that I want to make here is that we are in one of these great learning moments for geospatial. And I think that the work that Mike Dobson has done and that Mike has written about and several others who are really trying to dive into all the different pieces that have to come together to make a great map database and then implement it in an application or online is far from trivial. And I'm sure that most people who use Google Maps or MapQuest or Navtech Maps on a daily basis really have no sense of how hard that was to build and how long it took. And going right back to what Mike Dobson was saying, Apple started really, really late on both the gathering of the data and the gathering of the expertise. And that's what we're seeing.
Yeah, I think it's a great point to end on, because people are now getting a better understanding of how hard it is to do mapping technology. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Our sponsor, Esri, would like to remind you that Mapping Census 2010, the Geography of American Changes, uses the latest census data and GIS technology to examine how the U.S. population is changing. The Atlas offers large, full-color maps to illustrate U.S. population, age, and racial and ethnic composition. For more information, visit esri.com/esripress. And from us here at Directions, our call for presentations for the 2013 Location Intelligence Conference is now open, and we're planning a great event for May 2013 that will be in conjunction with the Oracle Spatial and Graph User Conference in Washington, D.C. More information at locationintelligence.net. If you'd like to comment about today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com or leave a comment where this podcast is posted on Directions Mag. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.